All right, good morning. I'll call to order the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, September 15, 2015, and ask if everyone please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you and good morning. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items on today's agenda. Is there anybody wishing to do so? And seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll go to consideration of the September 8th minutes.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any additions or corrections? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Minutes passed. There are no personnel actions today, so that takes us to consent agenda. Please add road closure 1631 and 1632.
Move approval with noted additions.
Second. A motion and a second. Toot?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Consent agenda passes. No public hearing items today. Additional items. Discussion and consideration of buyout of existing contract with Alliant Energy for standby generation and geothermal at the Story County Justice Center. We have Cal and we have Annette Renault from Alliant. Annette, do you want to come up? And we'll just talk this thing through. I think it would be helpful. So I've been involved in these conversations. Cal, you've been heavily involved in these conversations. I've been involved in these conversations over the last few weeks, just trying to get to a place where we could have a presentation to the board for the board to make a decision on this. So I'm going to start with kind of the 30,000-foot view, and then Annette and Cal, I'll ask you guys to chime in. We have generator and geothermal at the Justice Center that Alliant agreed to put in when the Justice Center was built. They would own that equipment, and Story County would pay for it over a 20-year period. Is that right? Would pay for it over a 20-year period. Which all that was done. It's Alliant Energy's to maintain and keep, and Story County pays, I think, $14,000 a month, something like that, $14,000 a month, and will do so through 2022. Well, Alliant, I believe, got to looking at it, and it's not their core business to be in this, and so they got interested in the idea of would the county want to buy it out with some kind of savings, and Annette's done a great job putting together exactly what that proposal looks like. It does, in fact, have substantial savings to the county. When it was offered a year or so ago, is when we started talking about this, Annette, is that right?
I think originally it came about a year ago.
Started talking about this, immediately went to Cal, and my feeling was pretty simple, board. It was, okay, in 2022, we're going to end up with this equipment. It's Alliant to take care of between now and 2022, but we're going to end up with it ultimately. And so if we want to end up with it earlier than that, if the deal is right for the people of Story County, then what we need to make sure of is that piece of equipment is in as good a shape as possible. Because the X factor in all this, for Alliant, for us, for whoever owns that, is not maintenance. You can predict maintenance, but it's any repair costs, anything that might go wrong that we don't know what's going to happen between now and 2022. So we got to working through it. Alliant made a really, really good offer. I went back and I suggested an even better offer, which Alliant said, thanks, but no thanks. And that's how we got to where we are today. So would you add anything to that, Annette?
Yeah, and speaking over the summer, we've made significant improvements. We had some water in the vault for the geothermal, so we did a whole initiative to repair that. We do have some work we're going to be doing at your request, which is to balance the valves of the geothermal system. And the generator, we've done some work on that as well and continue to. We've had monthly maintenance on that since that contract's been in place.
Cal, yeah, put that little microphone just in the middle between you two so we can actually hear her. Yeah, so there has been substantial work done. Cal, we asked you to dig into it. I know I was over there. Well, all three of us were over there for a meeting last week at some point. And Cal, I'd ask you to really look closely with the people that provide the maintenance for the for the project and you and I for the equipment, and you've identified several areas that you feel like are going to have to be addressed? You want to run through those with the board?
I met with Altorfer, and we
discussed. And Altorfer is?
Is their service provider for the generator maintenance. Now, right now, you know, we had a meeting last week, and we were just kind of using rough figures without any actual cost. Between now and then, I've found out that a lot of these costs are probably about half of what we were first talking about to take care of some of the
issues. When you say half to the positive or to the negative?
Half to the better.
Yeah. So take us through what you've identified working with Altorfer, which you've identified that whoever owns this need to be done.
There's some water issues with the housing unit of the generators. It has leaked for many years, and three of the doors have substantial rust issues that should be replaced. Some seals need to be replaced and some caulking. Now these are minor issues, but the long term there is some rust starting to start in the main structures in the bottom of the generator that concern me right now. If the water leaks are taken care of now, I don't think that's going to be a problem down the road. But so that's a big concern. We've been still looking into the berming issue. When we had the meeting, we had a problem there with the fuel oil. It was dripping on the ground that Alliant has taken care of, and that problem has been solved. But a berm issue came up about the generators and that equipment. We understand that the tank is double-walled and the way it should be, but there is piping and the generators themselves that are concerns, and that's something that I've been investigating now, is if that needs to be done and what's available to take care of that. And so that's ongoing right now, and I don't have all the answers for that.
Okay. So, and the other one was notification of
a leak. Yeah, there's a sensor in one of the cabinets, and I found out that possibly there may be a couple extra wires from the generators to the transfer room that we possibly could tie into. That wasn't a big expense, but probably about $1,800, $2,000 if we had to run the pipe and pull the wire, which if there's wires there existing, you know, we could get that down around maybe $500 approximately to hook that into the system, so we'd have a warning if there was a leak in that cabinet again. So there are just some little things that they'd like looked into and we're working on right now.
Kyle, more for information than anything. When you look at the wiring structure and everything around that, when this was originally put in, is there an expected life expectancy that you wouldn't have problems with the wiring where they would have to be replaced? And a lot of times it's due to external things that, you know, corrosions occur that, you know, causes it to have to be replaced. Does the external environment pose any potential risk as far as the wiring needing to be replaced to the best of your analysis?
I would say no. Altorfer has done an excellent job maintaining the generator itself in running condition and the switch gear.
Right.
You know, switch gear, there's contacts and things like that over time would have to be maintained and certain parts need to be replaced. But I think they've done an excellent job keeping on top of the maintenance of the diesel generators themselves and the associated switch gear and transfer switches.
Okay.
And Ed, you want to take us through what the offer is from Alliant?
Yeah, so what we've got is, I think previously when I was here about a year ago, we provided a buyout schedule. And that schedule details what your existing payment is each month and what the life of the contract is going to be and then what a buyout amount would be. So, and then what we did was we have some interest, like Mr. Sanders said, we've got, this isn't part of our core business anymore. It was something we used to do, but this is something we'd like to get resolved and actually have you guys own it, maintain it, and take us out of the picture. So we offered an additional incentive to take this off the books by the end of the year. So what we did was, in order to calculate that, we looked at the January 16th buyout. We deducted $25,000 from that, came up with a figure of $286,170. So if you look at what your current buyout rate right now is, that's about a $41,000 savings if you take advantage of that in September. If you do it in October, it'll be that amount. It's the exact same amount, but it'll be less the $11,000, whatever, that you're paying each month. So every month it goes by, you're just paying a little bit more. If you were to take advantage of this in September, that would be a savings of over $600,000 to the county over the life of the contract, which, again, goes to, I think, 2022. So it's significant savings to the county. We offered an additional incentive to try to get it off the books by the end of 2016, and that's about an additional $41,000. So the actual purchase price being done to buy out of the contract, no termination fees, nothing, would be $286,170.
Yep, 286, and that would save us, for save Story County, $638,130 in terms of if we just made the monthly payments all the way through, right. It'd be an extra $638,130, but you need to add back into that monthly maintenance cost, which we estimate are going to be about $1,400 a month. Cal, is that right?
Yeah, that's a ballpark figure that's pretty close right there.
So all said and done, you're looking at $525,000 or so in savings. But the X factor, again, in all of this is then we become responsible for all repairs, anything that would happen out there. And as it is now, Alliant is responsible. So at the end of the day, if you have less than $500 million in repairs, you're coming out on the good side of this thing.
The one question I have, and I don't know if Jessica can answer this or at least speak to it, is the issue of the berm. That's my understanding. When that was put in 2000, there was no requirement for that equipment be bermed. My question is, if it changed hands now, what's the requirement going to be? Since it's no longer Alliance equipment, it's going to belong to Story County.
Well, that's a great question, and right now we're working with the DNR to determine that. We're not sure whether or not a berm will be required, and one of the things that that we need to include at a minimum in our agreement would be that that this transfer of property would be subject to DNR permitting, because that's also something that we're looking at with the air quality permits, but we're not sure if a berm is going to be required or not, and we're looking at the DNR for that answer. So that could be an additional expense. And do you have an estimate of that expense, Cal?
No, I don't. You know, when we met, I thought somewhere around $8,000, and I don't know if that's even close.
So that's a great question and an unknown at this point.
Okay, let me ask the And again, Rick, certainly appreciate, you know, your working with Cal and others as we've gone through this process. So you're much more familiar with it than probably we are at this time. I go back and think historically when we first entered into the Justice Center agreement and Alliant gave us a tremendous rebate and kickback, and we were one of the first counties to, you know, really struggle with geothermal systems, and so we've done it significant savings over the history of having this facility, and we were extremely quite comfortable. Obviously, over time, and I do know that there were other municipalities that hoped to piggyback upon what we were successful in doing, and they found that they weren't able to go on the same kind of rebates that we did. Mm-hmm. So I could see a little bit about where Alliant is today in terms of wanting to relinquish this, because it's not really their core area of expertise. Well, I shouldn't say expertise. They still have it. But the question, as I think I'm hearing you mention, is, what happens if there's additional requirements that normally would fall to Alliant if they were the owner, that may fall to us, and they are the unknown kinds of things. And the question is who would make those requests for those requirements? Would it be the energy company, the Alliant, or would it be driven by some other entity? And if it's a some other entity, then it's a neutral party. You see where I'm going with this?
Well, I think, and if I'm hearing you right, if DNR puts on new requirements, so, right. So this isn't the only place that we have generators,
exactly.
Right? We have them other places. If we were to go ahead and acquire these prior to 2022, and don't forget now, we are acquiring them in 2022,
oh, yes,
whatever
no
we do.
No question.
Then they would be held to those same standards as the other equipment that we have.
Yeah. Okay, then the second part of my question comes back to the estimated repair cost. As you say, you know, whether we're talking $1,400 maintenance on an average, assuming that we would enter into an agreement, that is before us to consider, would it be prudent for us, and this is more of an auditor question, when we budget, that we put additional dollars as contingencies aside just for those, you know, unintended maintenance costs that could be above and beyond? I think that it's kind of like an insurance option that you hope you never use it, but you also want to build up a reserve to take in the event that you have a major repair and a major expenditure that's above and beyond what you had normally budgeted for. Do you see that that would be something that we would have to consider? And then what would be the projected dollar figure that we would have to take a look at? And I guess I'm just throwing that out.
Well, I think it's a great question. I think it is something that it's the old argument of how much is enough for government to have. Okay, so in an ideal world, we would have a reserve to replace every piece of equipment that we have in the event that it goes down. We'd be able, but is that reasonable to tax to the point that you've got those kind of dollars that you can put away? And what I would suggest, Wayne, is we would treat this very similar to how we treat our other pieces of equipment, which is we don't have a major reserve. We pay top dollar to keep them maintained. Cal and his staff do a great job staying on top of them. But at the end of the day, if we have a piece of equipment that goes down, we self-insure vehicles.
Right.
I mean, we basically self-insure everything we got, and we don't have reserves tied to a specific item. Melissa, is that correct?
Well,
we don't have reserve tied to a specific generator or a specific vehicle. We have reserves that are supposed to take care of everything.
I'm with you, but I want to ask you in terms of projected costs. We knew that years ago when we wanted to put a new roof on this facility and so forth, that it was going to be a multi-year purchase type of thing. So we started setting, reserve designating some dollars until we felt it was time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at that more or less in the terms of a similar kind of discussion, even though this particular equipment would be treated different than any others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just looking at it from the practicality of what would be our best option? Because I thought when that where we are today, I get the feeling that we're not, and I'm probably wrong in my assessment, but I get the feeling that we're, even though this looks like a good deal on the surface, there is a lot of what ifs and unknowns that potentially could be more costly. And so you're kind of trying to decide whether it's better to stay the course up until we have to take it over, or take the potential savings at this point in time. And that's a difficult factor to weigh in.
It is very difficult. And I think you hit the nail on the head of what makes this so complex for me. The complexity to me is we are going to own this equipment.
Yeah, right.
At some point, be it now or 2022, we're going to own this equipment. And so for me, what it came down to is make the best deal you can for the people of Story County in terms of dollars and cents, the X factor being you don't know what repair costs are going to be, and try to make sure that that equipment is in as good a shape as it can possibly be in when we assume ownership, and then we got to just rely on our staff and the contracts that we have to continue to maintain that thing. That's what I was pushing for and continue to push for all the way through. But Wayne, to me, we would be having a different conversation if this equipment did not ultimately revert to the ownership of Story County.
Right,
since
right,
it does,
right, yeah,
we know we're going to end up with this equipment, so it's you're not debating whether you're going to have it or not. You're debating when and for how much.
And what type of condition it's going to be in and so forth.
Yeah, and ultimately, we're buying a piece of mechanical equipment.
That anything can happen.
It's 15 years old. It's had good maintenance, mm-hmm. monthly maintenance over the last 15 years. Yeah, there's a few things that I wish probably would have been addressed earlier. The seals around the air intakes and the doors. And, you know, if we don't do this deal, what's it going to look like 7 years from now?
Right.
I mean, we know we've got a fixed cost now to purchase the equipment, and I would sooner purchase the equipment now, knowing that it's in relatively good mechanical condition. Yeah, there's some things that we need to address. But it's not a huge dollar item, I don't think. Am I wrong in that assumption? If we have to replace two or three doors on it and some seals?
No, the things I'm seeing right now is I don't see anything major in what needs to be taken care of at this time. So
I mean, we know what we're going to get now.
Right.
And we don't know what we're going to necessarily what we're going to get in 7 years.
Yeah, and Paul, I think I'm really, really close to where you are. The only place that I still differ. So when we had our conversation with Alliant, Annette, and some others a week or so ago, I asked for everything. I asked for the berm. I asked for the notification system. I asked for the seals, the new doors and the seals. And Alliant came back and they said, no, it is what it is. We're making you a great deal. Take it and go. And for the most part, I accept that. Yeah, okay, I get it. The berm, you know what, if we're required to do a berm, that's ours. If we want notification that's going to call Cal or his guys when there's something that goes wrong rather than just a red light blinking on the control panel, that's great. We should put that in. I do draw a line and I say, no, we know there's water leaking into the equipment right now.
Right.
We know that Alliant owns it right now. I think that should be taken care of. And for me, it's not even as much about what the dollar amount is. It's that we should not be purchasing a piece of equipment early when we know we immediately have to go replace doors. And so where I come down, and Paul, I think I'm real similar to you, but where I come down is I think it's a great deal. I think we should go with it, but I think it should be Alliant's responsibility to fix the doors and the seals, that there should not be water leaking down into this equipment when we take it over. Then from that point on, everything that happens or needs to happen becomes ours, but I think that this is an issue that should be taken care of by the people that own it.
Well, there's no question in my mind, and you go back to your first analogy, when you go out to purchase something, you know, if they tell you up front and you know exactly what you're getting and you determine that there is a cost to repair that, then you're saying, okay, I'm willing to take that risk, but I wouldn't want to buy something when I already know that the owner knows that this is a problem. We know it's a problem, but yet we're going to go ahead and assume that risk. So I think that from that standpoint, your analysis is something that I could live with. But you know, I don't know. You know, when you look at other than those options in your total discussions, how far we were apart in terms of overall dollar figures? Was there a difference in dollar figures, or was it just that those added components that you felt needed to?
What I asked, and I don't think I got down to the dollar, and Annette, correct me if I'm wrong here, but what I asked for in our last conversation with Alliant was that we would agree to the terms that they set forth.
Okay.
Except we would hold back $80,000. We would do all these fixes, including the berm and the notification and everything like that, take it out of that 80 and send Alliant the rest of the 80. Alliant said, no, that does absolutely does not work. Oh, and the expectation, Cal, I think our expectation was it was going to cost us somewhere around 30 or 40 at that point. Do you think it's less than that now?
We're considerably less than that.
But right? Anyway, so that's what I asked for, and that's what Alliant very politely said, no, we're not interested in that. Where I am today, depending on where you guys are, is I like the deal. I think Alliant has put forward a really, really good deal. I think it is a reasonable expectation of the county that those pieces of equipment not be leaking, the doors not be leaking, the seals not be leaking. And so where I am is, I believe we should take the deal, but contingent upon Alliant agreeing to fix the items that need fixed that are leaking right now. So that's the doors and the seals to me. And then we're good to go. I don't know what you guys feel, but that's where I've come to through all of this discussion.
Well, it appears to be a no-brainer concept. Like I said before, everyone knows that there's a problem. So it's either the $80,000 that we talked about and we do the fixing, or they assume, you know, that responsibility, and then we move forward with the initial agreement.
Yeah, and again, for me, it's entirely about, it's less about the money now, because I think what Alliant has offered is a really good deal, and more about that when we assume ownership of that equipment, there shouldn't be any maintenance type issues. Berm's not maintenance.
Right.
Putting a notification system on it, that's not maintenance. That's us having additional notification.
Right.
But leaking, you know, doors leaking and seals leaking, that is maintenance. That should be taken care of.
Absolutely.
Could Cal comment on what is this notification? It's a great term, and it has something to do with something, a problem is being detected. Just
there
talk me through that.
Alliant added a piece of equipment to the diesel tank. It's called a fuel polisher. And what it does is it filters the diesel fuel in the tank to take the water and moisture out of it.
Okay.
And it's a cabinet with filters and piping. And what happened is one of the filters had a pinhole leak in it, and it filled the cabinet full of diesel fuel, and they had put a float in the cabinet, which was hooked to a indicator light on the outside of the cabinet, to let people know that there was a problem, a leak. But the issue is,
if somebody's not standing there looking at the light,
there looking at it,
they don't know that it's leaking.
They don't know.
Yeah.
So, you know, the intention was good. It just needs to be followed through to make it more proactive, to tie it into the building system so that my phone goes off if that ever leaks again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that's at on that issue.
Okay. So, Annette knows where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what authority you've got. And realistically, Alliant holds all the cards.
Sure.
Alliant, if they don't want to make the repairs to this, then they're not going to do it.
Right.
And it's going to remain the way it is for now until the end of the lease, and then it's ours. So...
Well, and the thing is, with the unit that we're looking at, or the water, is when you look, there's a generator and there's the housing unit. And it's the housing unit. The generator is fully intact, and I think one of the things that we're probably going to evaluate is whether or not the housing unit and that water that's coming in, which is coming in through a door, there's a vent there for the ventilation, and that's where it's coming in, if that's somehow compromises the actual generator, which is truly the important piece of equipment. So that's going to be something we're going to have to evaluate and determine if that's something that we feel is truly a maintenance item with regards to the generator. The housing unit is just simply to make it, you know, take it out of the elements. I mean, you
right.
can move the unit inside, but this is kind of a way to do that. But I don't know that it was ever intended to be completely 100%, you know,
mm-hmm.
waterproof and everything. But those are something we're going to have to evaluate. I don't know. That'll go back, and I can take that back, and we can evaluate that. I know when we had our conversation, we did talk about each piece. And the determining factor was that we've made a good deal. We've offered additional incentive and savings
mm-hmm.
to take this off the books. That should well cover any cost that you have. So, you know, how they're going to feel about it, I don't know. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we might just say okay, and other times we may say no, that's all right. So we've offered enough savings. So.
Well, I think I agree with your analysis, and I am impressed when I listen to my two colleagues here and the depth that we've looked at this, and Cal and your work in this area, but I would be remiss to think that to not take this back to them so that they clearly understand the importance of what our concerns are just doesn't make good business sense, from my standpoint.
Fully understand.
Absolutely, but I think it is appropriate if this board has a feeling, if we feel like that this is a good deal that we would like to enter into contingent
upon
what we view as maintenance type repairs being made, we should go ahead and take action on that so that Nanette can go back and it's not, oh, we're still batting this around. It's no, there's a solid offer, and then Alliant gets to decide, do they spend the, $3,000 or $4,000 or whatever it is to fix what we view as maintenance, or do they not? And then we make our decisions based on that.
Yeah.
And, but it's up to you guys, whatever you think.
That could make sense. I'm just not sure what the motion would be, exact terminology of that.
It would have to be accept the offer contingent upon
the
repairs that we had concerns with.
And being our permitting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'll make that motion that we accept the offer made by, it's Interstate Power and Light.
Yes.
To purchase the generator system and the geothermal system contingent on DNR requirements and the repairs that we had mentioned here earlier about concerning the doors, basically the leak, the water getting into the housing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Second.
And just to clarify, that's at the September of 2015 buyout price.
Correct. Right.
And I checked with Lisa Markley. We do, in fact, have the dollars available to be able to write that check. That's a $286,000 check, I believe. So that we're all clear. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
No,
Cal or Ned, anything else to add before we vote?
No.
Just
going to thank Ned again
for absolutely
the efforts and your ongoing discussions getting us to this point.
Well, we are appreciative of Alliant Interstate Power and Light for this and hope we can go ahead and finalize the deal. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It passes with the noted contingencies.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll wait to hear from you.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Next item is discussion consideration of HRDA's request for match funds of $32,998 for purchasing two buses. Deb Shildroth. Hi, Deb.
Good morning. I am minus a HRDA representative this morning, so I would like the board to consider tabling this item until we have a representative that's available.
Okay.
Can we just put it on for next week?
Rick will not be here next week, and because I serve on the HRDA board, I probably should recuse myself.
Let's push this to the 29th.
So let's push it to the
29th. Okay.
And the reason that Julia just had surgery, the executive director on a knee, and she was just back in the office only on a limited basis yesterday. I just got an email. I didn't know that, and maybe she just told us about it. This was on the agenda for today. But
well, I hope she's doing better, and we'll have this on our agenda for September 29th.
Sounds like a winner.
Thank you.
Good.
No agency reports. Departmental reports. County Outreach and Special Projects Departmental report. Leanne, it's not a meeting if we don't have you. You know, let me just say this. So we've done some good things. We've been together 5 years now. We've done some good things. One of the really, really good things we did was creating this position and putting Leanne in this position. You think about where we were in terms of community outreach and things like that beforehand. It wasn't that we weren't, that Story County wasn't doing great work. We just weren't doing a great job reaching out with that great work. And Leanne's doing a phenomenal job. Did I give you enough time to pull up your computer there, Leanne?
That's not pulling it up. Well, I won't unless is the internet connected.
You said my computer, Shelley, is where you wanted it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the dark.
What do you want? Where are you?
Computer.
Computer.
It's there. For some reason, the presentation's on the desktop. It's just not loading.
Huh.
I already took my flash drive back to my office.
Yeah, I'm looking at it on mine.
I was just going to go to the website, if it's connected to the website, and just... Well, I can go ahead and begin to and punt.
I like it like this. This is what anybody anywhere could get online.
That's it right there.
Okay.
How about that?
We'll do it that way. Good morning. My apologies for the little glitch there. I think my flash drive might be compromised was the issue. What I have for you is an overview of what's occurred since July, which is when I was here for my last report. I don't have any of the fancy animation, so I'm going to just go with it. I want to just go over quickly what's been occurring. Obviously, you're aware of the urban renewal area projects. The deadline for those were July 7th, and I've been managing those through the process and will be here in the next few weeks for final decision-making by the board on those. Next is the KHOI radio updates, and unfortunately, they had to reschedule mine from yesterday morning, so I was not there, but I'm really pleased they've invited me to come in monthly, give an update generally the second Monday of the month as to what's happening at Story County. I've been reaching out to elected officials and department heads, and I'm very pleased that they are giving me information to share on the radio as well. And then in addition to what's being played on the radio, KHOI is being really good about providing links on their website, too, for additional information. I did finish up the presentation to school boards and city councils that was tied to the C2C project, Cornerstone to Capstone. This past quarter hit Roland Story School District, Zeering City Council, Gilbert School Board, and then the Story City Council. I have yet to make it to Colonesco and the City of Ames, and I'm holding off on the City of Ames for a little bit. I'll schedule that with the, Jerry Moore, the Director of Planning and Development. We had a great last Friday for United Way Day of Caring. I'm pleased to say my muscles finally are not really sore. Several of us worked at Rolling Green, built raised beds, garden beds, and did gardening and staying in the gazebo. Another group worked at Ryman Gardens, washing out pots. If you want to check out the Twitter feed or the Facebook page, we have pictures out there. It was a really fun day. I hope next year we have a better turnout, but I think for our first go at doing it, I know I heard really good comments from those that were involved. KUBCOG meeting, kickoff meeting was held this past quarter, and I'm getting feedback from the departments. I do have materials back from a few departments, and those that I have not heard from I'll work with and get them going. The board adopted your strategic plan in August, and you'll see the wall is bare. That's currently a Hobby Lobby being reframed for the next 3 years to take care of you forth. And then really did kick off the CIP, Capital Improvements Plan, meeting, and that will be to you as an entity in October on draft format to set me forward to solicit public input. Any questions along the way, please stop me. I'm going on leadership Nevada planning, well underway. In fact, I think it kicks off, or it did kick off last week or this week with the first session. Ours is in December. Similar format to years past where we'll start at the Justice Center and move over here, but tweaking it a little bit. CRS responses, CRS's community rating system. As the board knows, we've started this about 2 years ago. Did the in-person verification meeting in April or May, followed up with the written responses to the comments, a binder about 3 inches thick back to them. Last Friday, received several emails back for more responses, and those are due by Friday. So I'll get those together and back to our ISO specialist. I do want to share with the board 3 options that we've been asked to consider. Again, this is our community rating system. I had hoped to go in at class 7. You'll recall we start at class 10, 9, 8, on up to one for every class you receive starting at 9. Those that have insurance, flood insurance in the county, receive a unincorporated areas of the county receive a 5% discount. We will never, I'm not going to say never, until the time that we adopt a building code, Story County cannot go above the 6 or 7 level. Based on the preliminary feedback that our contact of FEMA has given us, we're a solid 8, which I'm very proud of that, going from just entering the program to a solid 8. We're on the cusp of a 7. She provided 3 options. One, we can accept the 8, and these flood insurance discounts go into effect tentatively May 1st for those 20 to 30-odd policyholders we have in unincorporated Story County. We can continue back and forth adding more information and go in at 7 at a date to be determined, or kind of a combination, going at an 8 knowing we're going to work towards a 7. I really like the first option that's going in at 8. We have to annually recertify, so I'll continue to embrace the program and go forward. But if you are all okay with that, I want to just respond to her and say we're good with 8. I'm very pleased. I'm very proud that we're going in as an 8.
And that's a 10% discount to those 10%. Unincorporated people that are getting flood insurance.
Yeah. Okay, I will respond back to her. I continue to work on the C2C, as a member of the project plan, and then doing the outreach. Community input meetings were all wrapped up last quarter. The project team and task force meetings continue to occur. We had one right before this. And then part of my task is working on the economic prosperity chapter. So I'll be working with a consultant team to review that and add information such as our Connect Iowa program, our Home Base Iowa program, different elements like that, and make sure they're covered. I did EOC training. We put the working with Drew, scheduled the legislative priorities meeting last week, and of course kicked off the Just Jeans for Cause again for United Way. Also, we did in August, the board awarded the facade improvement grant awards to 2 entities, and then we are busy scheduling quadrant meetings for fall 2015. In the past, we've done these twice a year, and this time we're going to try a little bit different and do these in the evening. The southwest is at the Slater Elementary School. The northwest is at Gilbert City Hall. The northeast is, again, at the Dakins Community Building in Zering. But the southeast, we're going to actually do in Nevada at the Country Club, at Indian Creek Country Club. And they're allowing us to use that free of charge. So I'm very appreciative of the Country Club for that. Some other work program items that really have kicked off or will be kicking off the next couple weeks, the CIP I've already mentioned, but as part of the Connect Iowa program, there were 5 specific tasks, specific items that the board identified on my work program. What I've started is completing a vertical assets inventory. What that is simply is, where are the communication towers we have? What does that tower hold? What type of antennas, what type of a tower is it, what's the height, what's the potential for co-location. It's not as easy as it sounds. It's a lot of outreach to the cell tower holders and gain the most current information in that regard. Along those lines, too, performing analysis of local policies and ordinances, and then facility and technology summit, and that will be coming up later this fall. Then another item I'm working on, and Darla Ingham has been very gracious to help me with this, is reviewing the entire county website. We've taken it and broken down page by page, and we have assignments of every single link on our website, and going through very laboriously and making sure all the links are working and noting that, so that when we get done, we can reach out to departments and elected officials and make sure we have a dynamic. We have a wonderful website, just making sure those links are correct and, you know, not... I know I'm great for making grammar errors on the website. Continuing on with floodplain management, that was in the presentation beforehand. I'm not going to belabor the presentation with listing all those, other than floodplain management is really becoming a key component of my work program too, and a lot of crossover to other opportunities that are coming forth too. Floodplain management program, I did issue 2 pre-construction phase permits, 12 final permits, conducted 6 inspections, and we're going through and verifying the TCM is Tyler Content Management. That's our software Story County uses for our digital images, making sure that of the 481 parcels in unincorporated Story County that we've issued floodplain permits for, that all that information made it over into TCM when we did the transfer data. And so not quite a third of the way. I guess we are over a third of the way there. It's going to be about maybe another 6 months. I do have 8 pending inspections. After the recent flooding, I can't access those. So later this fall when the water levels get down, I'll be out doing those. And then 6 more pending applications that haven't issued any permits. And then I have 13 total pending permits that have been issued that any time they'll call for inspection. So I kind of a busy fall for inspection work.
Have we identified anybody to kind of be your backup? I know you and I have had a conversation.
Keith Morgan asked me that yesterday. I said, there's me and there's myself.
So right now, the old conversation, God forbid you get hit by a bus. There's nobody here that can do what you're doing right now.
Yeah, I think that having the redundancy would give me a great amount of reassurance, because we do have, Story County has built such a great floodplain management program that, yeah, I don't want to be hit by a bus, but there would be a learning curve, especially with our CRS application pending. So that's a discussion that needs to be had. Homebase Iowa, I'm going to be doing some work on our website. Along those lines, too, Deb Schildroth did ask me if I'd be able to help Brett McLean out with some website updates. I might do that in tandem as I'm doing some adding some stuff on Homebase Iowa on our website. So I'll be doing that this week. And then Tiffany and Coleman? Yeah. And Drew Camp sent me, I'm very appreciative of it, the business development toolkit that was put together. This is part of what I hope will be our ongoing BRNE efforts and outreach to our small business development community. If you want to develop an unincorporated Story County, here's some tools to help you. We have a lot of home businesses, a lot of conditional use permits that, such as Brecky's, that are small business and may want to expand, may not have desires to expand, but at least having that conversation with them. And then again, bringing the local foods and farms back to the board. I did look at an EPA grant that we could potentially have applied for. The deadline was today. As I delved into it, it's just at this point, the grant management is so great and time consuming, I didn't want to pursue it for the funding that was available. I think that's it.
Okay. Home Base Iowa, I believe that it's time, and this is for both you and Drew, I believe that it's time that we pull that group back together that we had when we first started talking about Home Base Iowa and what it could be, and give a report. I think it's time for this board to get a report on where we ended up
right
with Home Base Iowa and what the prospects are. And I'm not talking about in the next 2 weeks, but in the next couple months, I think it would, Drew, I think it'd be great if you could reach out to Jathan and just talk him through. I know he's had a couple questions as we've been going. We're working on our Veterans Affairs staffing levels right now. It's going to be a really, really good time to go through the full process of an update. And so I'd like you two to have that on your radar and get that done.
I did. I had another slide that information. I want to just put just have you start thinking about whether or not when January hits, or even before January, if you want to do the technical assistance to communities again. Let's see, this would be the fourth year of it, or if that's a program that we're going to not pursue anymore. I just putting the thought now, bug in your ear now, because I know when the quadrant meetings are held later this fall, that'll be a question that's asked.
Yep.
And then I will work with you all, your calendars, to schedule a meeting with all the superintendents and presidents of our school boards, similar that you do with the librarians. That was something, as I went out and met with school boards, there was a suggestion that dialogue be started. And it did come up last week at our C2C task force meeting as well.
Mm-hmm. I think that'll be outstanding. And board, as an FYI, I've asked Leanne to start working on concepts related to historical building preservation and what our role can be on that. I think you're going to plan on coming to us on the 29th with just an initial discussion of that. Also on the 29th, we will have
Phyllis Friebel from the county fair coming to us to talk about assisting them with the renovation of the community building that's out there at the fair. So we'll tackle those two on the 29th. Okay. Lee, anything else that we need to mention here?
The only thing, I'm sorry, I keep on thinking of things. I did get an email from the Red Cross interested in doing a blood drive again this fall. If with your blessing, I'd like to at least have a discussion with them and see how many minimum they need. And Wayne, I mean, we'll sign you up again because I think.
Well, last time I tried it, you know, I started liking country music because I think the person that gave me the drew my blood probably had a strong background.
That must be my excuse now too, huh?
I was hoping I could maybe ask for one that's got a little R&B or soul this year.
You keep it lively around here. I'll say that for you. Any other questions for Leanne? Thank you, Leanne. No other reports. Public forum number two is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. Board may not take any action due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but we may do so in the future. Anybody wishing to address the board? Seeing no one, liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Paul, pass. Wayne.
No liaison, but I would mention last night I did attend the Conservation Board, again, another excellent meeting, just a very engaged board, a lot of great things going on. I'll just highlight just a couple things. Elizabeth Waddy was just appointed, approved to be our naturalist, effective 9/21/15. There was a resolution approved to suspend the refuge status at Hickory Grove so that we can have our second controlled goose hunt October 3rd. Last year when this happened, they harvested nearly 44. And our park ranger, Phil Meyer, is very much engaged and interested in pursuing this. So we're going to be continuing to do that. And then we had a report from Ranger Phil Meyer about the progress that he has been involved with our parks there in Hickory Grove and his role as park ranger for this past year. Very impressed with the work that he's doing. And then there was a discussion of the conservation part of the proposed trail and greenway map, as well as the Chapter 4 of our plan. And Christopher Shires came and reported to the board. The board made a few tweaks, a few suggestions that he's going to take back to include in the overall Story County Comprehensive Plan. But I was extremely pleased with the effort and all the stakeholders that were involved in that. And then finally, we'll hear more about this later, but it was encouraging just to have the discussion regarding the research park, the progress that is being made in discussions that are still ongoing, and also working with other potential landowners. So I just was very encouraged with how that is, the pieces are starting to fall into place, and we'll hear more about this at a later date. Mm-hmm. And but other than that, it was a very good meeting.
Well, conservation is doing a great job, Wayne, and we appreciate you being our liaison in the ex officio capacity to that group. The research park is moving ahead, and I'm excited about that finally getting to this board for consideration, hopefully at some point this fall. Other front with ISU, our relationship with ISU in terms of Story County's relationship with ISU is as strong as it's ever been. ISU has, in fact, entered into discussions with us about a site for our secondary roads facility for the southwest corner of the county. Those are progressing really, really well. ISU is very, very interested in having university paved from the city limits of Ames south to 260th
and 260th paved over to South Dakota, which would give us a nice southern bypass, and have indicated that they would have interest in participating in that, along with assisting us with building trails to help get people out to the High Trestle Trail specifically as they move through. Those conversations are ongoing. Darren Moon and I have discussed what kind of costs are involved and what kind of benefits. And we'll be continuing those conversations with ISU, hopefully to bring some kind of proposal forward to this board at a later date.
Okay.
Announcements, Paul.
I got an email yesterday from Tony Reed. He's the director at the Central Iowa Juvenile Detention Center in Eldora. And you guys know that I'm on that board of directors. That center is owned by about 28 counties in Iowa as an agreement. 8 years ago, they borrowed $5 million to build a state-of-the-art 30-bed juvenile detention center. In 2014, we borrowed an additional $2 million to add 30 beds to that facility. Tony sent us an email yesterday through his hard-working diversification of services up there. First time in 8 years, we're debt-free.
Outstanding.
We've paid off the $2 million loan that we got in 2014 for the facility. So as of this month, we're officially debt-free. So that's...
Well, Tony does a nice job running that, and it's such a necessary program.
Absolutely.
So thanks for your work on that. Wayne?
No.
All right, and I'll pass.
Only other, just that I will be... Are we talking about announcements right now?
Announcements.
Yeah, just to say that I will be attending the ISAC annual retreat in Pottawatomie County in Thousand Bluffs. Tomorrow, we start tomorrow afternoon and through Thursday and Friday, and so I'll just be out of the office for that.
All right, thank you. And I'm headed to Montana for a nephew's wedding, and I'll miss next Tuesday, and I'll see you guys in the office next Wednesday.
Okay.
With that, I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, Dan, do you have any problems?